TJ told me during one of our recent meetings that we film for $10 patrons, where we plan out all the shows for a couple of weeks or a month, that he wanted me to deep fat fry Chevy Chase. So, you know, a weird topic, but Chevy Chase, Maryland, is the name of both a town and an unincorporated census-designated place, Chevy Chase, CDP, Maryland.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of little things have gone on in the town. I don't know really where you want to start, TJ.
I mean, it's your episode, dude.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, there's
Maryland's,
just...
Maryland's a state we don't... I don't really know much
Yeah, I don't really
Maryland.
Ever think about Maryland, you know?
Yeah. It's right near Washington, D.C., I know, Chevy Chase is.
Right.
Okay.
So it's on the outskirts of Washington. God damn it, TJ. You were supposed to call me on this, and you just let me hoist myself by my own petard.
No, I was talking about Chevy Chase, Maryland.
You did not want me to deep fat fry Chevy Chase, Maryland.
They have the Ballad of Chevy Chase. Look right there. Did you click on that, dude?
The Ballad of Chevy Chase?
The Ballad of... Wow.
An English ballad cataloged as Child Ballad 162, Round 223. What?
The first ballad, TJ.
Yeah, I want to see about this. The first ballad. I never heard the old song of Percy and Douglas, that I found not my heart moved more than with a trumpet.
Jesus.
The Ballad of Chevy Chase.
But anyway, yeah, get back to talking about Chevy Chase, Maryland, Paul.
Yeah, no. We're not deep fat frying Chevy Chase, Maryland.
What do you mean?
TJ. We're deep fat frying.
We've had this on the schedule for fucking like a month
Chevy
or more.
Chase, TJ.
Yeah, Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase?
Yes.
Yes, Chevy Chase, yes, Maryland.
Correct. Actor, comedian.
Actor, comedian.
Extraordinaire.
What?
Yes, yes, TJ. Ooh. Yes.
Who? What?
Chevy Chase.
Oh, this guy here.
No!
Oh, no? That's not him?
That's Timothy not him? Allen Dick.
Listen
TJ.
To me, TJ.
Yeah, what's up?
Here on Deep Fat Fried,
uh-huh,
we have a tradition.
Do we?
Call it a has-been roast, if you must. In fact, the very first offering that this collaboration of neckbeards produced was a very thorough and vicious takedown of Timothy Allen Dick, if you'll remember.
I do.
You guys
remember
the show?
A beautiful,
yes,
man.
A universally beloved show, of,
yes,
course.
But one headstone was not enough for this crew, was it?
No.
The bloodthirst was not to be slaked so easily.
More has-beens! More!
So allow me then to read you an abridged list of the dishonored dead. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Abridged list, by the way. This
abridged.
Is not comprehensive.
Not everybody, but the prime targets.
How about Chris Kattan?
Oh, yeah. Ugh. Oh, my God.
May his soul burn forever in cringy fires of his own making.
Oh, shit, dude.
Next How about, image, please.
Wait a minute. You can't even... I need a moment to process this fucking...
I found this picture last
night.
Dude,
I'm sorry, but does it just look like his head doesn't belong on his body?
It looks like his hair doesn't belong on his head.
It looks
like his head
doesn't belong
in
this reality, I'll be honest
with
you.
I'm just looking at his head. It's like, what the fuck? He has no neck, and it just feels like his head's just like they photoshopped his head on some other body.
He looks like someone playing a magician on a TV show that can't afford a magician costume.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly what he looks like. You got it.
Oh,
how about
fuck.
Vanilla Ice?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
May he rot in obscurity,
you know,
as he did in life.
Somehow, Vanilla Ice's outfit is not as bad as the Chris Kattan one, even though it's way louder and more gaudy and more
definitely
ridiculous.
I'd rather be dressed like this than Chris Kattan in the previous picture.
Because you know what?
I fucking want this outfit,
least,
dude. Fuck
at
that.
Least Vanilla Ice is going all the fuck out here with something crazy.
TJ, let me ask you a question. This outfit...
Whereas this is just...
Go back to the Vanilla Ice one.
Yes.
You could have this outfit right now in your size. You would say no?
I'd fucking
That's
buy.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
Dude, I'd want this shit. This is fucking cool.
It's pretty
cool. Kattan, no. That fucking, ugh.
I'd pay $60 for this.
Yeah.
You know who else's bones are buried here, TJ?
Who?
Nancy Grace.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Whoa, what happened,
Nancy? Grace. May Jesus. She be forced to listen to her own show for all eternity.
God, she looks horrible.
How about Dr. Phil? You remember that one?
Oh, he sucks.
May a great shaggy bear endlessly devour his puny genitals before him.
Yes.
Now, TJ, do you react in fear when people talk about your high triglyceride count, TJ?
I do.
Do you? Have you ever lashed out at a family member, TJ?
I have.
Please go on. How about Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
Why does he have a pedo stash now?
Yeah, this is what he's looking. He's sporting a stash now.
What the fuck is going on, Adam?
Who knows?
Adam, do you need help?
And even the pitiable, lowly cur, Rob Schneider, may the hat on his head catch fire and burn with a ferocity that water quencheth not.
Who's damn, the worst? Paul, you want like a great punishment. Like
no, there are more. There are many more. There are many
right
more.
There.
One.
There are many more.
There's one right there.
Graves buried here in the crypts below the crematorium that is deep fat fried. And all undoubtedly deserved their fiery fate. We destroyed them viciously and without mercy.
Yeah.
For we knew that ours was the vengeance of those who have cringed, TJ.
This guy's more of a never was, though.
Well, he works here at the crematorium, TJ.
He does indeed.
So the darkness, the psychological solitude.
How did you miss Pauly Shore, though?
Because I said it was an abridged
but he
list.
Definitely should have been.
I said it was an abridged.
He definitely should have been
list,
on it.
TJ.
Yeah. But he shouldn't have been abridged from it. Is what I'm saying.
Well, I tell you what. When you do the next fucking episode, TJ, why don't you throw Pauly Shore into your fucking episode?
Maybe I will.
There you go.
Do you know what? Rob Schneider. I've never noticed this before, but he doesn't have any fucking eyebrows, so that's pretty weird.
He does. I can see
they're
some.
There's like a very thin, straggly hair or two, but that's not an eyebrow.
They're very thin.
Crazy.
A little wispy eyebrows, TJ. What's wrong with that?
So yeah, so is this the next victim?
So one fateful day, go to the previous one.
Okay.
My taskmaster, the head mortician here at the Boneyard, Thomas James Kirk III, gave me my orders. Paul, he said, Paul, you will destroy Chevy Chase. You, Paul. So I went about my work without question, but what I found was not a slithering, scraping, self-effacing cringe machine like the person on the screen here and the others we've talked about in this episode so far. No.
No.
What I found was complicated. A complicated man, I suppose. An asshole, to be sure. Cocky, self-sure, egotistical, even a self-righteous man. But what hypocrite amongst us three would credibly claim that we're not exactly the same? You, Scotty? Surely not you, TJ.
Yeah, I'll claim it.
I don't think I can.
So what are we left with, TJ? Go to the next picture. This is Chevy Chase as a young man, but let's see him now. Go to the next picture, TJ.
Chevy Chase young, Chevy Chase old.
Whoa.
What are we left with? An old, defenseless man, a grandfather, weary, beaten down, filled with regret and sorrow, and hated seemingly by everyone.
He looks like a cancer patient, dude.
He looks
right?
Awful.
He's old. He's an old man.
I mean,
what do you want from him?
Dude, Bernie's older than him. I mean, Bernie's got kind of the bald thing going on, the glasses thing. You know, he's looking better than this dude.
The internet, if you go to the next link, TJ, is ripe and rife as well.
The straight dope.
With threads like these. Why is Chevy Chase so hated? Now, I will admit there are some positive comments here. But most of these comments are about how hated Chevy Chase is. You'll find news stories. Why is Chevy Chase so hated? You'll find biographical articles centering around how hated this man is. And for what crime, TJ? What crime did Chevy Chase commit? Being pompous?
Yeah.
Being insensitive?
Uh-huh.
Trying with every fiber of his being to make you laugh? What a monster. So I defy your mortician's orders, TJ.
If you've read the book Live from New York, you'd see that not one person from any incarnation of Saturday Night Live has a good word to say for Chevy Chase. He is apparently an irredeemable asshole.
Well, not tonight, because
tonight
TJ,
he's going to be redeemed, huh?
You will witness the incontrovertible, glorious, total redemption of Chevy Chase. Right here on Deep Fat Fried, an inversion of what you told me to do. I defy your orders. I will not smear this man. I will build him up in the eyes of the people.
You know what, Paul? You defied me, Paul.
I did. What are you going to do about it?
I respect that.
Thank you.
I respect that, Paul. I respect it so much that I'm going to give you a quick death later.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So Chevy Chase... Go to the next picture.
There he is in Christmas.
It's him on the left there, by the way, with his older brother and the creepiest Santa Claus that I think I've ever seen.
You know, he's in the top 10.
He's got very long fingers.
Wait, I think the kid is creepier. Which one is Chevy?
Chevy's on the left.
Yeah, he's actually the creepiest. I think it's because he's licking his lips.
Yeah, like his brother just looks like
he looks like he wants to eat something right just behind the
camera.
His
brother looks retarded. He just looks like he wants to like kill somebody or something.
Well, maybe
like
he
vicious.
Does. Maybe he does. He was born, now get this, Cornelius Crane Chase.
Cornelius.
In Lower Manhattan, New York, to Kathleen Parker.
You know what? That makes sense, because my cat is an asshole, and I named it Cornelius, because I thought that was a cool name, but apparently it's an asshole name.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, Cornelius is actually pretty nice, dude. You're lying.
His parents both came from prominent families. His dad was an editor and a writer. His mom was a concert pianist and a librettist, which is a...
You said penis.
Yeah, man. Penis. Concert penis.
Whoa.
So I figured we could listen to some, or not listen, but I'd read you. He's written some of his own words about growing up in New York, rather than have me fill your head with a bunch of facts.
Yeah.
How about we hear from the man himself, Chevy, about what it was like growing up?
It's a very creative spelling of incontrovertible in this document, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
that. Very creative.
That.
I love it.
Thank you.
Very Shakespearean.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, TJ. So Chevy Chase had this to say about growing up in New York.
Yes.
New York was such a huge place, a concrete canyon of it. The buildings were all so tall. I just assumed all cities were like that. Well, they aren't. In the 50s, you can't walk by another guy without staring at him and him staring at you the whole time. It was a I'm more of a man and tougher than you thing. That's with you for the rest of your life. A sense of humor is a sense of perspective. It's a way of gauging what's important and what's less important. I had to get into fights all the time. If you go to the next picture, I think we got a, you know, kind of a teenaged picture
of
Chevy
punk
here.
Chevy Chase.
He says he lived at the cusp of Spanish Harlem, and they didn't like a crew-cut white kid. They were always chasing me and trying to steal my wallet. I was sent to the grocery store on 2nd Avenue by my mother on a Saturday, and these two Spanish kids are walking behind me. And in front of me was a little kid, smaller than me, and he kept punching me in the face the whole way to the grocery store. I came back from the grocery store with a bloody nose, and my mom sent me back for something else, and they were there again. And when we got to the corner, I'd had it. I just took the little kid out, and of course the other two, the big ones, jumped me. I really had a hold on one of them, like a headlock, and the other replied, "Hey, no fair, you're choking him." "No fair," he said. "What do you mean, no fair? You guys have been kicking the crap out of me. They had these rules." One of the guys stabbed me in the back 3 times when I was running away, and I still have the knife scars.
Damn, brutal.
I remember discovering that you could just pick up a brick around one of these areas along the sidewalk and get on top of a car while they're chasing you. And boy, did that stop everybody. I might have 20 of them chasing me, but nobody wanted to be hit with a brick. And I got really good at roller skating, too. That's kind of lame.
I'll just skate away from danger. Yep.
So he said he would roller skate down Park Avenue all the way to Grand Central. I must have known every alleyway, every possible place you could either hide or cause trouble. Up from the 90s to Grand Central, it was a joy to be a naughty boy in New York. So,
whoa, a naughty boy.
Yeah. I'm a naughty Chevy
Chase. I'm a naughty New York boy.
Oh, yes. So delightfully, deliciously naughty.
Meet me behind the building.
They're trying to kill me, but I simply roller skate away.
If you take another little jump forward, you'll see Chevy Chase in his early
20s. Oh, my God.
20s.
No wonder people were trying to attack him.
Oh, man, come on. You can't get... There's a rugged handsomeness behind the goofy smile there.
What is this creature? Kill it quickly!
Yeah, there's a little bit of a,
you know... We'll see some handsome Chevy later.
If he wasn't making this face,
yeah,
maybe.
He's making a goofball face here.
Oh, whatever, dude. You'd have to brown bag him.
But he's a proportion nice. He's got the nice butt chin going on.
Yeah, you know, that's a nice, strong feature. Nice, moated chin.
So he spent his 20s at various odd jobs with the hope of pursuing a career in comedy. And during this time, he wrote for the Smothers Brothers, who went on to be, you know, were, I guess at the time, already a big comedy staple. And the early incarnation of National Lampoon, which would later lead to a lucrative film franchise for him.
Yeah, the vacation movies, yeah.
Chase's first stint as a performer was with the New York Comedy Video Workshop Channel 1, which evolved into the 1974 film Groove Tube.
Groove Tube!
Which I looked at some of last night, and it's real weird.
It sounds weird. But, you know, it was the 70s, so pretty much every fucking thing was
weird. Groove Tube, baby. Yeah. Baby, it's Groove Tube.
After seeing the film, producer Lorne Michaels hired Chase for the first season of Saturday Night Live in 1975. So this was really obviously what broke Chevy Chase into the minds and consciousness. Right.
And
consciousnesses.
I mean, it kind of sucks we have to kind of explain this now, because Saturday Night Live now is like, who gives a fuck? But back in these days, Saturday Night Live was like a cultural institution and all this shit.
This was the first season.
Right.
So he was part of the cast that established the dominance of Saturday Night Live for 20, 30, 40 years.
But out the gate, it was a fucking cultural fucking.
It was huge. So. And he kind of innovated the bit that they still do on the show, the sitting at the news desk and reading the satirical news.
Right, the weekend update, which has never, it hasn't stopped. It's still going on SNL to this day. I don't know who's hosting it now. My favorite, when we were growing up, it was Norm MacDonald doing it, and he fucking had
was fantastic.
He just had the most terrific fucking deadpan, and still does, really. Total retard in real life, by the way, as an aside.
Well, whatever. He's a funny one.
He's a funny retard.
He was hired at first as a writer, but pretty soon, obviously, they saw his talent, and he was in front of the cameras. He was responsible for quite a few skits, including one we'll take a brief look at in a moment. But he was really well known for this part of his act, the reading of the news. He also played kind of a bumbling Gerald Ford, who was president at the time and became really famous for that.
Yeah, you can just kind of see Gerald Ford if you look at
him. Have you ever seen any of his... the sad thing is
I've never seen his Gerald Ford impersonation, but I can just tell...
I
know Gerald Ford, and I don't know him.
He tripped over everything. He was constantly falling down and hurting himself, and he was just very klutzy and clumsy and stupid. But he was, probably one of the breakout stars on a huge season. If you go to the next picture, this is Lorne Michaels over there on the right, Chevy on the left, Dan Aykroyd, Jim Belushi.
Yeah.
This isn't, the whole first season cast. Gilda Ratner was on this. I'm trying to remember all their names, but
it was an amazingly fucking talented group of people.
All people that went on to have their huge careers in their own right. Jim Belushi unfortunately died very young from an overdose, but had a huge career anyway, leading up to that overdose.
Yeah, I mean, Blues Brothers is fucking
classic, super. I can't underscore how super iconic this group of people was. Right. I mean, they made a show that stood the test of time for decades and decades and was a staple in American life.
Right.
And
Chevy Chase was no small part of that. I mean, obviously, he went on to quite a fucking lucrative career.
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to talk about that right now. Lorne Michaels, pictured here on the right, and Chevy were close friends until Chevy, without warning, decided to leave SNL at the end of his contract to do a handful of primetime specials for NBC. So basically, somebody came knocking at Chevy's door with some money.
Yes, and he's just like, okay, bye.
Yeah, and he was like, well, fuck you guys, I'm out. See ya. Bye, Saturday Night Live. So after one season, it was a big deal, too, because he was beloved on the show. But after one season, he said goodbye. Some people that worked with him, William Morris, agency signed him immediately, stole him away from Saturday Night Live. One of the writers that worked with him said Chevy was a real scumbag about the way he left, deceitful and dishonest about the whole thing. And when staff writer Tom Davis asked why Chevy was leaving, he said, money, lots of money.
Okay. Well, I guess at least he's honest.
Yep. So this is Jacqueline Carlin, who Chevy married right after he left the show. She filed for divorce from him 17 months later, citing threats of violence.
Wow.
He then, later in interviews, cited his engagement and impending marriage to Carlin as a reason for leaving Saturday Night Live, a blame the bitch strategy, according to one of the women that was on the show with him. He made a number of movies early on in his career, but I thought we could take a look at the movie that he made. He really left SNL to make. If you pull up the next image, this is it. It is Oh Heavenly Dog.
What?
Which is a stupid movie. I watched about 20 minutes of it last night and could not bring myself to finish it, which is saying something, because I watch a lot of dog shit.
An adult tale of murder, mystery, and forbidden... I guess it takes place in London.
And you see how tale is spelled. This is maybe one of the earliest movies where the guy dies and he's reincarnated as a dog to solve his own murder.
Oh, shit, it's one of those, huh?
Yes. And so it's for most of the film, and I pulled the trailer if you want to take a look at it.
Oh, yeah, let's go ahead and take a look.
Hey, hey, hey. No. Chevy Chase is Benjamin Browning.
Oh, I love these old trailers. They're doing like a Psycho fucking thing, you know, like a fucking Alfred Hitchcock trailer.
Who's about to embark on the strangest case of his career.
What can I do for you?
I want to buy protection for someone, and I know you'll be discreet.
But before he can track down the clues, the witnesses, the evidence, or the suspects, there's some good news and some bad news. The good news is...
Call me on Friday.
He's going to make a date.
Call you Friday.
The bad news is he's going to be late.
Damn. Stabbed in the back.
What am I signing?
You're acknowledging that you are dead and you agree to all the terms and conditions thereof.
But, incredibly enough, there's more news.
Final assessment assignment is to go back and solve your own murder.
Go back. Excuse me.
Chevy wrote that into the script itself. Yeah.
How about she slaps me on the ass when I go into the thing?
I'll take another take of that one.
I don't know, Chevy. No.
Just do it.
He's back.
Maybe you remember me. I was killed here.
Somewhat shorter.
I need a clue.
But wiser.
And a pair of hands.
With 48.
These kind of movies are fucking super easy.
Yeah.
You just get to...
Because Chevy probably had one shooting day on this film.
Yeah, you get to...
And then two or three voiceover days, and he was done.
It's like, yeah.
And then the editors just threw together some bullshit about a dog running around trying to solve a murder.
I just want to say that this being his first movie, it's a fucking miracle that he had a film career.
Yes, I agree.
And woolly hours to solve
because this is a misstep right here.
Again, trying. 20th Century Fox presents...
I'm sorry, Mr. Browning. I didn't mean to startle you.
Chevy Chase.
Why don't
what?
You stand up?
I am standing up.
Jane Seymour.
How about if I just call you BJ for short?
You're asking for it.
Omar Sharif.
Come BJ.
Sorry, I gotta be running along here. Oh, you're strangling me.
Robert Morley.
Robert Morley.
And Benji.
Hey, hello. Now I gotta run. Turn the lights off when you leave.
In an adult tale of murder.
Poor Benji.
Mystery and forbidden love.
I don't like being cute.
She gonna
I
fuck
don't
the
like
dog?
Being
what the hell's going
on?
Yeah, hands. I didn't get to this part, so I can't tell you whether
damn,
she fucks
Benji,
the dog.
Whoa. Maybe Benji wasn't so abused.
The movie is almost unwatchable. It's terrible, and it's not the only movie he made before he broke big. We'll take a look at his filmography a little later. Listen, become a fucking patron, you stupid fuck! What are you waiting for? Huh? Huh? Get up, grab your credit card, go over to Patreon and become a patron already, for fuck's sake, what am I gonna do? Spoon feed you epic shit while you lay on your back? You gotta go where the food is! Go! Reach into your wallet, take out that card, go to Patreon and swipe that motherfucker and become a real man!
Or a woman.
Or a woman.